Welcome to Harvest World Assembly, where the word comes like fresh bread from the ovens of heaven. And as you listen to God's servant, Pastor Gwenga Shafe, keep these words as they purify you in this journey of destiny.
In the name of Jesus, let your word come forth like fresh bread from the ovens of heaven, and let your children be truly fed by the very words that come from your mouth. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Please have your seats. Our time is fast spent. I will try to be as fast as possible. Now, this scripture, thank you, Lord. You know, oh God, Shadabada Kasali. The scripture says in the book of Hebrews, we say, he maketh his angels wind and his ministers a flame of fire. I don't know why. Let me just say this. I don't know which is for, but maybe I will come back. But it's impressing my spirit. There are some angels, their chemical makeup is wind. That is why, even in the realm of the spirit, you can't see them. They are like wind. That's why sometimes you are in a service. Have you ever been in a service and you just felt like there were angels around, but you couldn't see them? You just sensed a supernatural presence. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because he makes his angels wind. There are some angels that are made from fire. There are some that are made from wind. Those ones, when they come, you will not see them, but you will sense them. You can feel them. And I feel that sensation now. Amen. And coming with that sensation is a revelation of fatherhood. That revelation that tells you that, have you ever written an exam and you didn't pass and people didn't talk about it in the family? Your parents didn't talk about it. They didn't mention it to their friends. They just kept the secret in the house. Have you ever done something so bad that it was so terrible that your father and your mom said, nobody should talk about it? You know, that's the fatherhood of God. Even when you've done something so bad, his first goal is to protect you. He wants to preserve you. So it tells you by that action that you are not defined by what you have done. You are still my son. You are only having a few challenges. So I want someone to go home with that mindset today, that you are not what you did. Say amen. You are not what you did. You are God's child. And even when you fail an exam, or you do something that makes you feel less of yourself, the reason why you can still pray in tongues and you can still do other things is because God has great hope concerning you. Now, amen. Now, the word we just read in Philippians chapter 4 verse 13, this is a popular scripture, and this message is supposed to be a bit pastoral, so you will not see me jumping up and down. Coincidentally, today happens to be Father's Day. I don't know. I don't check those things. I mean, somebody just sat down somewhere and wrote a few things and say, so there will be Father's Day. And then people took it. Nobody argued. Then they gave 3 days to women, and people took it, and we couldn't vote against it because we have more women than men. And we took it. But when they said we should celebrate Christmas, I was even born on that day. People are just talking what they don't understand. So people fight. The men have been an endangered species for a very long time. So it's what we are going through. And God will help us. Men, say amen. No, because even the amen of the women is still louder. This is why they are winning all the elections. You know? Amen. The word strengthen, that word, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, is gotten from the word, the Greek word, endynamo. E-N-dynamo. Not dynamo kido. Endynamo. That's where you get the word dynamite. That's the root word of dunamis. Hallelujah. There are different levels of power in the scriptures. Maybe before I go, I will share just 3 of them. There are more than that, but I'll talk about at least 3 of them. So today's message is to make you feel good. Amen. This is one of those lucky days where you come to church and the pastor is in a good mood, God is in a good mood, and we are all agreed for once to make people happy. Amen. So today my goal is to make you happy. So you won't see any prophetic bone. Everything is just pastoral today. But second service, I cannot predict. And dynamo, which means, that word strengthen in the Greek means to be made strong. That means you were not strong. Then they made you to be made. You are now made strong. It also means to strengthen. It also means to increase in strength. I can do all things through Christ who causes me to increase in strength. He increases your capacity to succeed. He increases your capacity to do well. He increases your capacity to make him happy. Say amen. So it also means to enable. Every time I look at this word to enable, what comes to my mind is when you want to start your car. Okay, you turn the ignition on, you have the engine, you have the battery, you have the valves, you have the radiator, you have so many things. But the car is disabled. But the ignition key, with the ignition and with the key, you can enable that car to move. So that means that there are people sitting here, there are a lot of believers all over the world who have a lot of gifts in them. They have a lot of supernatural abilities. They have a lot of talents, but they are not enabled. They are not enabled. There's this scripture we used to read. There was this session I took some years ago on where I was. Is it building your capacity for impact? I don't know. Where I was talking about 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 3. What was that scripture? That scripture, get it for me. I have it in my mind, but I want to say it exactly the way it is. So, where I talked about the limitation of the vessel is also the limitation of the anointing. Thank you. Some of you are following. Praise God. I have people who have been following me for a long time. Some people don't even remember what I preached last week. Some people, even the prophecy I gave them last week, they don't remember again. After I say, God, I don't know what God is not answering my prayer. Do you remember what we told you last week? You go to class, no notebook, no biro, because you believe you are a magical creature. So these are the days where they give people demons and tell them it's superpowers. So give me that. 2 Corinthians 3, somewhere, first 10 verses or so. So the word and dynamo can also be related to living a victorious life in Christ Jesus. It is the ability. That word, dunamis, which is a type of power, is the ability that makes a Christian live a victorious life. That means you will always have challenges. Are you with me? You are going to have challenges. When you are trying to get married, you pray, you fast, you bind, you loose, you turn upside down, you enable, you disable. Then when you marry now, your husband will tell you, okay, let's not have kids for the next 1 year. Then after 1 year, you now realize that it's actually 2 years, it's 3 years. Pastor, we thought we were waiting. Like one brother here, he said he thought he was waiting. Then he started eating carrot. Yes, so he started eating carrot and not knowing that the wife has even gone far. You know, women do research. You think you are the owner of that house. You are just deceiving yourself. Your wife, I was talking to a particular couple and I said, if you want to be happy in your home, give the key of the house, the car, your life, the room, give it to your wife. Let her do what she like. I say, you will be the happiest man. The guy says, it's not possible. I said, you will do it too. Ha! I said, women not have rights now. They have women rights. If you misbehave, they put you in your place. If you go to, that's why some of us cannot relocate to the U.S. When this morning your wife will tell you, I hope you know this is not Nigeria. I call the cops on you. You pay. And the police and the government and your wife will share the money. So I respect to. I can do all things, which includes to succeed. I can do all things. You see that in that scripture, there is nothing God removes from it. He said, I can do how many things? All things. That means there are people that are not married today, not because someone's not asking them out, but they are afraid of repeating what their parents did. Their parents were professors, they were very smart, but they couldn't keep a home. So some people don't want to fail in their marriage, so they are marking time. They are marking time. There are some people, even if they marry Jesus Christ, they will divorce. I'm telling you, the situation is that terrible. It's a serious matter. Because when you now ask Brother Joe, why, what's the problem with this lady? He said, I don't know. He said, Jesus, you are the owner of heaven. He said, I'm telling you, I don't know. I've tried. So please, marriage is not for perfect people. It's for two independently weak people who become dependent on each other. If you are too smart, marriage is not for you. Say amen. I know you don't. You won't say amen, but don't worry. When you get there, we'll exchange notes later. I said, if you are someone that is very smart and you like to show it, marriage is not for you. Because it's for two people that are weak. And that's why you find that most of the people that get married early, they do well. They are not usually the most attractive people. Because when a man really wants a girlfriend, he goes for the one with the figure and the shape. When he wants a wife, he's looking at skill and other things. So, take your pick. Want to be a slave queen? Yeah, it's good. You be a slave queen in your husband's house. But not all these things. Because now my wife, we're having to homeschool our children. Because we don't really trust what they are teaching them in that school anymore. Which means it's time to move on. Okay? But my wife is having to sit. So imagine that your area of gifting is to be a slave queen. How can you help these children? You now realize that actually they taught you LCM and ACF, but you didn't listen. And all of a sudden your children are talking about the same LCM. Like, you know, how mama tipe gone. It's been a while. It's a long time. You now realize that you've been failing since. But I want you to say after me, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. You know, I told you it's a pastoral message. No quarrel today. We are just family. So why is Paul not saying? Did you see the scripture? No, just give me the quote. The quote of the scripture. He said he has made us able ministers. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything of ourselves. Our sufficiency, that's 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 5. Our sufficiency is of God, who also has made us able ministers of the New Testament. Not of the letter, but of the spirit. For this letter killeth and spirit giveth life. So what God is saying is that I have made you able. And the word enable comes from the word able. You must first of all have the capacity. You must first of all have what it takes before they activate you. So there are many people who have the gift and the talent, but that's not all you need. You must have the character for the throne. You must have the character for what you are asking for. You must have the character to keep a home. You must have the character for the promotion you're asking for. Everybody deserves to be promoted, but life is not fair. And like I was sharing with one of my sisters yesterday, we had a long chatting, you know, one of our sisters here. And I said to her, I said, the Lord has made it very clear to me that as it was in the beginning, so it is now, and so shall it ever be. That's how we are praying in our former church. The Lord said to me clearly, most people will remain spectators. Put it down. Most people in life, they know what it takes, they have what it takes, but they will remain spectator. Only 11 people can play in a match. So you can take, how much does Ronaldo earn now? Who knows? I don't know, I'm a pastor, I don't know such things. But you help me. Give me an idea, or the old figure. Don't be ashamed, we are in the presence of God. We are in a family meeting. Give me an idea, Google it. It's not possible. I won't collect £100,000. I'm a carrier of the anointing. Do you know how much that's worth? You see, you must please Google it. I need answer. I don't want speculation. Today we want to vote. I want to know the candidate we are voting for. Okay, please. Times 600, please, or 650. Times 720. Please give me the figure. We have a Ronaldo in our midst. I'm already choking because I'm afraid of the figure. Sorry, wait. You say what? 648 million per week. Now, you are here, you are working for 35 years. You now retired. They now cut one plaque, one paco. I say 35 years meritorious service. You now did like this, they snap you. Now, excuse me, between living 100 years and being Ronaldo for 2 weeks, which one do you prepare? So, now, but if they had given birth to you and they told you that the value of this, your leg, that when they weigh it on the scale, is 640, please, times 4 weeks. That for 1 month, every month, this is the value of one leg. 2.5 billion naira. You know, it's converted to naira now. Like this, that it is 2 billion. Say, hey, this leg, say yes, 2 billion. Ah, how will you take care of that leg? This is your investment, too. This is your investment, say 2 billion. So, that's why I'm telling you that when God said to me that, I have put so much in many of you. But because many of us have chosen to be spectators, do you know what it means to be a spectator? We like to talk about issues. We like to have an opinion. We think that popular accolade or celebration means we are accepted. And God says, look, what it takes to be among the 22 people that will play in that match. They play for 90 minutes, and as he's walking away that week, maybe he has one or two matches every week, he's going to be worth 648 million in naira. Imagine the guy just collects his mind and decides to travel to Nigeria. I want to go for a weekend in Nigeria. How much can you spend? He just look and say, Pastor Gwinga, I've been watching you live from, is it Juventus? Juventus, I love your ministry. I see you talking about me. Hey, you're my guy. Say, don't collect anything from those people again. Now, if Ronaldo wanted to bless me, do you think he will give me a million? Doesn't mean anything to him. He will give me according to his perception of who I am and who he is. So if Ronaldo gives me, say, 50 million, it doesn't mean anything to him. There's another 648 million coming next week. Say, Pastor, I just believe in your ministry. I just believe. Now, do you think that Ronaldo got that money from Satan? This is just one man working with a recognition of what God has put inside of him. That is, whether he speaks in tongues or not, is not even the issue. How much more somebody that has the Holy Ghost, that speaks in tongues, that prophesies. I mean, come on, man. Do you know what I'm talking about? Do you know the value of the anointing that is inside of you? There was a brother that used to be in this church, and they were going to take him to India because he had a hole in his heart. And they said the cost of the surgery is 2 million. Then there's this other cost. It was like about 5 million or thereabout plots, other cost. And after prayer, he was given a brand new heart. He went to Reddington, Maryland. They say he has a brand new heart. So the family gave him the 2 million. Go and start your life after. I just noticed bro was changing clothes. And I was wondering, ah, bro, you look good. He said, give me 2 million. Do you know that not everybody can be collecting 10 million per month and they can tell their pastor? Because the pastor will start seeing vision for them. But if you look and just say, you know, this pastor is more than that. You talk to me about it. Go and ask him. I've never asked him for anything. I don't prophesy into people's pockets. I'm just saying. So there is a divine recognition that you must have about what God has put inside of you and how God sees you. If God is seeing you as a champion, that in the next 10 years, 15 years, you will be the name they will be talking about in this particular area, and you are knocking yourself silly now because you think God forgot you, and God is saying, that thing you have seen, if I give it to you now, you will crash. So I need to take you to the studio. I need to take you to where men are made, where women are made. I need to take you to that place where your gift can be tempered with discipline. So I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. It's not just a strengthening, it's a progressive strengthening. Hallelujah. Come on, say, I'm strengthened. And God is strengthening me. Why is it that God doesn't want us to rely on our strength? Number one, because we are limited in ourselves. You think you are able to handle it, but really, you are just one man out of 7 billion. You are not that important. Number two, we can do God's work. God doesn't want us to do his work with our strength. You'll burn out. you will burn out. God doesn't want us to do his work with our strength. God's work includes your family life. God's work includes your business. If you see that your business as God's work, you will not handle it the way you're handling it. You put a good price tag on it. Yeah? Put a good price tag. Stop telling people, hey, because of you, you now remove half the price. The price is the price. If you want it, you want it. It now depends on the person that is offering the service because of whatever I give you a discount. There are no freebies on the road of destiny. There are no freebies. Everybody that keeps getting freebies don't amount to much. You help is it the larva or the pupa? What's that thing that becomes a butterfly? You help it, it does it. Eventually you damage the process, you truncate it. The thing is crippled. Go and look through life. Every man, does it ever occur to you why it was Moses and Elijah that were selected to stand with him on that mountain of transfiguration? Elijah was one man that stood against the will of the people. Elijah could have used his anointing to benefit himself and be living in the king's house. No, I need to be seeing vision for you regularly. So I need to be close to you. Give him a mansion. Everybody is suffering. Prophet is enjoying. Look at someone like Moses. Moses has been through a lot. And you know, Pastor David, when he was on that, it just occurred to me this morning that when he was leading his sheep and he saw that burning bush, he said, this bush has been burning, but it's not being consumed. That means the thing had been there for a while, but he was the only one who eventually saw it. That means the thing has been there. God gave room to every other person, but it was only Moses that saw it. Because nobody wants to climb the mountain. What's happening on the mountain? Yeah, let's be here. There's enough grass here. Every time we choose a life of ease, we truncate God's highest purpose for us. You will not know. It is the day you now get to the moment of your destiny and they say, oh, we need somebody who can do this and we are certified in this. You will now remember that 5 years ago, that idea came. But because you didn't hear it like, my son and my daughter, I am the Almighty God, is new before me, I want to, you just make it. You see, that thing that is coming to your mind is God. Go and do it. Go and do it. Go and start somewhere. God will never teach you. God will never encourage you to be lazy. And God doesn't want you to do anything in your strength for him. He likes you to respond based on what he puts in your heart. That's why sometimes you see some people, oh, let's do this. Say, I'm not interested. Because it's not really about the thing you want us to do. I'm not connecting. Oh, she's beautiful. She's this. Yes, but I'm not connecting. It's not. There's a kind of connection that is beyond beauty. We might just be investing all our salary buying makeup and you have an entire room. You want to have an entire room to yourself. Huh? If they tell you what you need to do now to get to the where God wants you to do, can you do it? What is the price? What will the devil put in your hands now that will make you turn your back on God? Have you ever asked yourself? Number three, God is not glorified in the flesh. The word of God says, through the arm of flesh shall no man be justified in his sight. Number four, God doesn't want us to burn out easily. If you burn out, the people are aging. We have men of 28, 29, 30 years and they are having gray hair and they think it's cool. It's not cool. You are aging. You are aging. You need to slow down. I was in a meeting with pastors recently, I won't tell you where. And I saw the pastors, you know, when we pastors gather, we talk about everything apart from the Bible. We're supposed to be talking about the word of God. So they were talking about dyeing your beards and, pastors were talking about dyeing their beards. So that was when I realized that everybody there was the only one who was not using dye. I didn't know. Oh, is that one you use? Oh, yeah. Oh, that one is, the quality is, so I now say, sorry, oh. Is it the same thing we are talking about? Say no, but you have to be careful. When you use this kind of dye, after some time it turns gray. They were analyzing the thing. I say it's not me, I'm not their member. I mean, I've never seen dye in my life. I don't know what it looks like. Except the charcoal that we are using when we are, I don't know what it looks like. I'm just saying that sometimes you don't find wisdom where you think you are going to find wisdom. So it's just the way it is. God doesn't want you to burn out. It is not cool to be having gray hair. Say it's in my family. Maybe your family has been stressed for the last 100 years. I'm telling you, you need to cool down. Tell your neighbor, cool down. Tell your neighbor, cool down. The journey is still far. My wife, you know, some time ago, she looked and saw some gray hair somewhere. And I told her there's nothing there. She said it's obvious. I said, I can't see it. What you say is what you will say. I can't see anything. I'm young, I'm vibrant. And she said it's cool. I wanted to shave everything. I said, don't shave it. I like it. That's why we are where we are. Because even when you want to, when you want to change, your girlfriend, your wife, will tell you, you know, I like it, it's cool, and all of that. So, please, God doesn't want you to burn out. And don't think it's cool to burn out. You are too young to have gray hair. Say amen. A doctor said you are lacking some vitamins in your body. That's why you are 32, 33, you have gray hair. It's that you need to go for a checkup. That's what a doctor said. Doctors don't find it funny. It's you that think it's cool. Now you are young, you try to grow the hair, then you are old, you are not trying to get young. Why don't you just enjoy your season? You are 33. What's in the age is just a number. Why don't you just enjoy the fact that you are young? Also, as David said, I've been young, now I'm old, I've not seen that. One day you will be everything. Don't worry, just wait for your time. One day your children will bring their school fees and you enter into depression immediately because the school fees is just something you become, you can't sleep. Can't sleep. Have a bill every three months over $1 million. You want me to steal? Different types of power. My time is up. So you see why I say that the issue of fatherhood is something we grow into. There's a level where you cannot put your child in that year school behind your house again. You have to put them on a solid foundation. So let them just be going to that house. We call it jealousy. Jealousy, if it's a revelation. So just go there, let the house be quiet. Every time my children come back from school, the first thing I say is, oh God. Because from the gate, we hear, the house has been quiet before you all started screaming, and you all just need to keep it down. I said, So, and you must receive the energy the way it's come. Just, So you shouldn't do that. So you try to, you say, you scream and hug them. And that's where you people will make noise till the next day. So enjoy it. Don't be in a hurry for your children to grow up. Enjoy your face. A time will come, those are their memories. The spiritual, only the spirit. Calm down. This one too is also spiritual. Different types of power. We have dunamis. Dunamis means the miracle working power of God. That's in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 19. Give me Ephesians 1:19. Okay, my time is up quickly. And what, look at this. What is the exceeding greatness of his power towards all those who believe? According to the working of his mighty power. Now that first two lines, great exceeding greatness of his power, the word there is dunamis. This is the power that makes miracles happen. This is the power at work when a person becomes born again. When darkness becomes light, what God uses in that process is what we know as dunamis. It's also the same scripture in Acts chapter 1 and 8. For you shall receive power when the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. So that's also power for service. So, but you can see this one is what? Exceeding great power. That means when the devil comes with a kind of attack or a kind of warfare against you, this is exceeding great. That means the Spirit of God will calculate the volume of power being unleashed and we exceed it. When you see that operation, it's called dunamis. Say amen. Now, another scripture for that is Acts chapter 10 and verse 38. How God anointed Jesus Christ with the Holy Ghost and with power. So there's a power dimension. Many people have the Holy Ghost, they can speak in tongues, but they don't have power. That's another thing entirely. So that word there is the word dunamis. Number two is the word kratos. I like kratos a lot. Hallelujah. Kratos. Kratos is, they are all, they are not heavenly languages. They are just Greek and Hebrew. So it's not nothing special. So Kratos, if you want to start your business, just name it Kratos. Kratos. Then, so people say, I like, let's go to Kratos, you know. But what that means, let me explain. It's not that club. Let me explain. Kratos means dominion power. Hallelujah. Kratos means dominion power. It means mighty power. It means the power of dominion over creation. It was the power with which Adam was able to control the animals. It was the power with which they were able to name all the animals. And they could not reverse the name again. It's the power to name 18. The power to change destinies. The power with which Jesus rose from the dead is Kratos. Dominion over death. Hallelujah. Come on, say I receive it. Oh yes, oh yeah. You need this kind of power when you are dealing with situations that are beyond you. The kind of power where you are on the high seas and the ship is about to capsize, and you release that power and it stabilizes everything against what the weather forecast is saying. It's called dominion power. You dominate. You take that opposing power and you sit on top of it. It's called dominion. So I make your enemies your footstool. You take it and you bring it under. You say, let me explain this in another way. When you are dominion power is when the military come out with their submachine gun and they say nobody should go out today. You see that submachine gun, AK-47, all those kind of weapons that they carry about. Sometimes you see ordinary policemen without rank carrying some of those guns. It's a terrible situation. But when you see those kind of, that gun in his hand is what you call dominion power. It's Kratos. Because they are licensed to shoot it. If they so much as feel a threat, and this is something God wants us to know, because some of us in our families now, we are being invaded with all kinds of situations and we are trying to find a kind of solution. There are certain things that dunamis will not solve. It is Kratos that will solve it. The difference between dunamis and Kratos is that while dunamis is exceeding great power, that means it's power, but Kratos is what? Dominion power. Genesis chapter 1 verse 28, I say, and let them have dominion. Hallelujah. Let them have. That means they didn't have, but we are giving it to them. Let them have. The moment you believe that you have been given, you have. Say amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The final one, and not the least, but it's also quite important, is the one we know as exousia. Exousia is called authority or influence. Have you ever held a program before, or advertised a meeting, or you and your friends were planning for a meeting, and you invited a particular person as your guest speaker? Nobody knew you. Nobody knows what you guys are doing. But the moment they saw that person's face, and they said, this person is going to be our guest speaker, you didn't have where to sit again. Hallelujah. That's exousia. It's influence. It's authority. It is the authority. Exousia is what you find when the yellow fever guy starts on the road and says, stop, move, come up here. Now, that guy, it is the uniform he's wearing that confers on him that power. Now, imagine on another day, he now comes to the station or to the junction. He doesn't wear the uniform. He's now saying, come, go. Oh, God. If you don't come up for that place now. Orunwero. Orunwero. Heaven is looking for customers. The moment you do vroom, and if you have a Formula One kind of whatever, the guy knows that this one is not playing. No. He move out of the road for you. But if he's wearing the uniform, when he's under authority, that authority works when you are also under authority. That's why many of us, this is the easiest for any believer to operate in. The reason why most believers cannot operate in it is because they themselves are not living their lives under divine authority. So this is a brief summary of those levels of power. It's actually more advanced than that, but I leave it at that point. What are the things you can do that can trigger the volume of power that you have? My time is up now. Okay, I have to go. I'm so sorry. Number one, please know that the word there is volume. Volume, that means you have an allocation of power. But if you want to increase the assets you have, number one, you have to be involved in kingdom activities. Number one trigger that I know anywhere that works is leading souls to Christ. when somebody is giving to, talking to people about Jesus, asking them, you know, encouraging them to give their life to Christ, it increases because you are doing God's work. So God must back up that work with power. Okay? Number two is fasting. Fasting. This kind goeth not out except by fasting and by prayer. So these are triggers. Triggers. They are like triggers. It's not like what makes the power there, but it can amplify what you have access to. Okay? So fasting is very important. Number three, fellowship of the saints. I remember I've preached in meetings where I have some of my friends who are also preaching that meeting. And just because we are there and I'm connected to them in their heart, I'm able to draw their anointings and I'm able to minister with their anointings. I've experienced it more than once. And people are like, oh, you are ministering like... I say, no, I just connected by faith and I drew his anointing, drew this one, and I became extremely more powerful. And when the ministry was over, I came back to my normal self. So the purpose of fellowship is so that we can draw on each other's ability, draw on each other's graces. The devil doesn't love you it may be a warning signal if you are shying away from the actual fellowship of saints and God is not talking and you are doing it and it's not convicting you. You understand? It's a very dangerous place to be. Do you understand? You may even be more anointed than your pastor, but if you are shying away from, I'm not talking about online fellowship, I'm talking about actual fellowship. If you are avoiding the fellowship of the saints, and God is even talking to you and is telling you, no problem, be happy, Hakuna Matata, then you already know you are in a very dangerous place, because the thin line between the Holy Spirit and familiar spirit, very thin. So why would God be comfortable with you violating a scripture that is his word? The fellowship of the saints, you are able to draw on each other, you are able to help each other, you are able to pray for each other. The fellowship of the saints helps me benefit from the anointing of Tina. Tina also benefits from my anointing. For instance, as I'm standing here, maybe if my shirt was torn or something, there's no way I would know, but somebody looking at me will probably know, and is able to help me adjust and cover. So it's more like we taking care of each other. And you find that even in the kingdom of darkness, they don't play with things like fellowship or gathering together, because that's where you get your briefing. Those things are very important. Number four, when you release what you already have, God gives you more. These are the triggers of power. There are people that are accumulating revelation and waiting for one day they are going to manifest it. And God is saying, a lie. That one that you have, release it. Have you ever been keeping one message? When I go for that sister's meeting, that I will share it. And God now use one small boy to share it. Yeah, you felt so pained. So you'll be feeling sad. You now have to go and look for another big one. But release what you have. You see, if you don't release, you cannot take. These are very simple spiritual principles. And finally, meditating deeply in the word of God. And please, the key word here is deeply. There are certain rivers you don't really access in God until you go the extra mile. Going all length, you know, go deeply. Where you become so, you meditate till you are so conscious of the presence of the Lord, the presence of the Holy Spirit, the presence of the word of God. These are things that you may not get to. Pastor David, help me. These are things you might not get to in one day, but if you start working on them, you notice that you begin to get better. So, and if there's anybody you see and you like, they didn't just get there. They've been working at something for a while. And let me tell you this as I leave. One of the powers of fellowship and corporate living or communal lifestyle in the kingdom is that if we pray together over a particular matter, you will not pray as much if you will pray twice if you had to pray on your own. But if we pray together, our capacity is increased. So if two people we chase 10,000, what happens if we have five people? That means that the problem can even be solved in 5 minutes. So this is one of the advantages of communal lifestyle and sharing hearts together. So as we go into the week, I want us to go with that notion that God has already empowered you to do all things, whether it's in your office, whether it's in your personal life, whether it's in your relationships. I can do all things through Christ who enables me, who strengthens me. And you don't have to be frustrated. The frustration is going to be out there. There's nothing you can do about it. But you can manage it with dominion power. You can manage it with the exceeding great power of God. That means that you are not without an advantage. Praise God. You are not without an advantage. But you must now begin to put your eyes on the resources that God has made available to you. And then, you know, as you try to use it, you understand it better. Don't just be a forgetful hearer. Don't just hear it. No. Try to tell yourself this week, I'm going to try to use God's power. And I'm going to see the result. You try the first time, doesn't work. You try it again, try it again. After some time, you start making some observations. Let's pray. Please stand to your feet. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray for everyone at the sound of your word. I ask that, Lord, you will bless every heart. And that, Lord, whatever constitutes challenges in the hearts and the lives of your people, in the name of Jesus Christ, as they go into the week, you cause everything to be put at their feet. In the name of Jesus, that, Lord, you will give us grace to be able to exercise dominion power, exousia, and to be able to manifest the full weight of the presence and the glory of God. And we pray, Lord, for everyone who is going through a challenge under this corporate anointing, we pray that every mountain shall be brought low in the name of Jesus, and that by this time next week, there's going to be a testimony.